Hey coaches, welcome back. This is Coach Parker with Coaching You Football Tips and Talk Podcast. Thanks for joining me today. If you get a second, please subscribe. Podcast is up next. And remember, play for fun and winning is funner. Thanks again. Hey coaches, this is Coach Parker with Coaching Youth Football Tips and Talk Podcast over at coachparker.org. How are you guys doing today? Today I've got part two of choosing a youth football offense and how to do that. We're going to continue in part two with talking about the important variables on how to choose an offense. Really starting to get into the meat of kind of the skill players and what they can do and kind of what you really need to look at. And then we look at the single wing, and then that's an intro into part three of actually looking at each of the offense and kind of taking 15 of these variables and kind of reviewing those. So today we're going to talk about the last part of those variables from part one. If you haven't listened to part one, head over there and do that now. But part two, we will start talking about the type of snap that you're using, and can you do that? The size of your offensive lineman. Number three would be the blocking calls of the offense. Four is the blocking skills of your offensive lineman. Five is, does the offense have multiple formations, shifts, and motion, which are a big part of that. Six is QB skills. Do you need footwork, good hands? Are you passing a lot in this offense? Seven is actually passing capabilities. It's more so than just quarterback. So we'll talk about those and what you need to do that. Speed of the team. Do you have fast running backs or just all fullbacks? Or maybe you have no backs. What that's going to do for an offense. And then the number of running backs. You know, do you just have one really good one? Top running backs, I mean. Maybe two average, so we'll look at that. And then the offense that you're looking at, is it more of a power offense, speed, misdirection, passing? So trying to match that with your players. And then we'll also go over, is the offense versatile and have a lot of flexibility for a youth football team? Sometimes there's issues there. And then is the system easy for a new rookie coach and rookie players to learn, install, and execute? And then the last one of this 25 variables is the available materials, resources, playbooks, coaches out there that run it that you can ask and figure out how to do it and learn more about. Well, let's jump right into those. As I said, there was part one, the variables, and so you should go back and listen to that if you get a chance. But here we'll jump into part two of how to choose an offense here. And really, the type of snap. You know, I see so many coaches try to force the shotgun snap with youth football teams. And if you don't know how to teach it and you're trying to force the snap, it's probably going to become an issue. There was a guy today on the forums that was trying to run the pistol and he was having issues snapping the ball at third and fourth grade and was asking, should he go under center? And he's only got like four or five practices before the first game now. And so, yeah, I mean, pistol offense at third and fourth grade is probably a sophisticated offense you may not want to run at that age group. You can run the diamond or trig formation, which I run, which is under center, which is a little bit easier. And that's what I had suggested. So if you're having trouble with your shotgun snaps now and you don't really know how to teach it and you've tried a lot of stuff, you probably need to go under center and do that. Now, some teams actually, I find it easier under center for most of my quarterback center exchanges, but some teams actually find it easier in the gun. So you kind of need to decide, you know, which you're better at and most consistent. I do tell teams, youth teams that go to a gun, and really to any team that's going to run a shotgun, is if you're not 99% on the money, 99.9, then you're probably turning the ball over two times or one time a game from a poor snap. So they can even happen under center. So you got to get this snap exchange down. So make sure if you're choosing a particular offense that, you know, if you get into it, the sophistication goes up if you're in a shotgun. Let me just say that. Okay, so we're getting into now the size of your offensive lineman. I don't really consider the size of offensive linemen to be a huge factor until maybe 11-12U, and it may be even maybe travel teams. But in rec, we're seeing like medium-sized linemen with good technique and fundamentals sometimes beat these bigger defensive linemen because they're slower. So if you're sound on teaching your offensive line the fundamentals and using angle blocks and that sort of thing, then it's probably not that big of a deal. But I will say it's nicer, just like having a really fast tailback. It's nicer to have big linemen and much easier. But I don't think that, you know, should prohibit you from running a certain type of offense, to be quite honest, unless you're getting up to, 10U select, 12U rec kind of thing. And then it makes a lot of sense that maybe you should choose another offense if it requires a lot of power. But, you know, with the beast offense that I've run, I've been able to run it with big and small. Do I prefer big? Sure. But I don't know. That's one you guys can think about. That's a big question asked me a lot of times. I don't see it as a huge factor, but you guys can take that as yourself, what you want to do there. The blocking calls of the offense. Now, you know, depends on the playbook that you look at. I know a lot of people run angle blockings, like SAB, severe angle blocks at this age groups. And I run probably 8 different calls, but at younger ages, I do SAB and jaw block quite a bit. So you need to look at what the offense is asking from you as far as how to block. I mean, if all the blocking is just hit the man in front of you and drive them off the line of scrimmage, then that may be not the playbook or offense. Maybe you've got the wrong playbook. But yeah, you need to look at that a little bit. The big one, though, that I see a lot of people asking, which is the next one, is really the blocking skills and pulling skills of your offensive lineman. This is a really big one. I'm not, at younger ages, a fan of pulling linemen, only because you're seeing 6, 7, and 8 man fronts. So it's hard to pull at that point, because the general rule of thumb is don't pull if there's a guy head up or inside gap. So I'm kind of wishy-washy on pulling. I pulled as a rec or as a select youth football lineman, and it is hard. And what I find in rec is that I don't really get the guards to pull, the talent of the guards, the speed, the quickness of those guards to pull. Because I'm usually using kind of big linemen that can't move in those guard spots. So trying to pull them is a little bit harder. So I just want to look at that. And I was reading some gun T stuff and wing T stuff here yesterday and the day before, doing some research. And they were talking about, you know, the guard should be basically like fullbacks. And when I played guard, a pulling guard, I was like a third string pullback. So yeah, your guards in these pulling type offenses need to be quite talented, at least above average. So if you're having, you know, in rec, you've got slower kids, then maybe pulling isn't something you want to do. But you can run unbalanced lines, which is what I do a lot, which makes up for that fact. And not a lot of youth football defense coaches will see that unbalanced piece. So you may want to think about that. The other thing is just the blocking skills. You know, if you're having to drive block a lot of times, you know, I prefer angle blocking. So you want to take a look at, you know, look at that. So if you're having to drive block a lot and move people that way, then you need these bigger linemen and not small linemen. So look at that. But really on this issue is it's pulling. The other variation that comes up on what you need to look for in an offense is multiple formations. Are you having to shift a lot? Is there a lot of motion? Now, I know there's a lot of double wing fans out there, and I'm one of them, but there is a lot of motion in that offense and what you have to do there. And sometimes rec teams have a hard time with motion, jumping off size. It takes a lot of reps and that sort of thing. So you want to look at that. Even with the beast offense, that's pretty simple, like one of the most simple offenses you can run. In my setup, there are 3 formations, but basically the backs move, and I do move into a big line, unbalanced versus an even line. So there are some movement there, which you can teach, But those type of things increase the level of sophistication. Now, I've seen a lot of guys try to do pre-snap shifts and do a lot of shifting at younger ages. And to be quite honest, that seems to be a big problem of all these pre-snap shifts. There was one guy that was trying to do it, I think at about 10 or 11U, and he probably got a 50% penalty rate on shifting and having people in illegal motion when he snapped. So just be aware if you've got a lot of multiple formation shifts and a lot of motion, that sort of increases the complexity and sophistication of the offense. So take a look at that. So another variable, which is pretty big actually on some offenses, and I know my youngest son, we ran the speed formation, which is my wing T double wing kind of formation where we're doing a lot of spin stuff. His QB skills as far as footwork, when you run that type of offense, needs to be really, really good. And they need to be quick. And their hands, you know, there's a lot of hand and footwork action that is going on in a double wing and even a single wing offense. You know, passing, you know, that's one thing for a youth quarterback. Do they have it? If they've got it, that's a luxury. But if you're choosing a passing offense and your quarterback's a running quarterback, then that doesn't really fit. So make sure that you've looked at the offense, know what it's going to entail. Do you, as a coach, have the skills to teach these quarterback skills, or you're just looking for someone to hand off and something easy to coach? So you need to decide that. The next variable in choosing a youth football offense is the passing capabilities of your team. And the reason I say passing capabilities is it's just not the quarterback that passes. You know, you've got to catch, you've got to block, and it's got to be snapped. And the quarterback now has to have good enough footwork to roll or drop and then also pass. So there's a lot of issues around passing in youth football that have to be worked out. So if you think you're going to run, you know, at 10U, a spread 2x2 air raid type offense, and you can't do all of these things with your talent, you need to really take a step back and say, what can I do? So I see a lot of folks come out in a spread and they've got these wide receivers at the numbers on both sides and they can't pass. So defensively, we don't cover those receivers. So now you've given me two extra players that I'm going to defend with. So just take a look at that and think about that. Another big variable which really comes up, and this is a really big variable that helps in youth, because if you've got the best speed in the league, you can probably win a ton of games if you get past the poor coaching aspect. But even at that point, you can win a lot of games with if you've got the best speed back in the league. So if your team is really fast and you've got really fast running backs, then you might be able to run a more wide open offense and be a little bit more aggressive on your offense that you want to choose. You could do a lot of stuff. The reason I name my formation speed, that is a wing T double wing kind of variation, is because if I've got speed, I need speed to run it, and that's what I do. The other thing with speed, not offensively, but for defensively, you can be a lot more aggressive with team speed. So, you know, speed kills. It's great to have a lot of speed. So definitely you want to look at that for offense of what you've got there. I mean, it's so nice to run an eye when I've got a tough, fast tailback and a power eye, offset eye, regular eye, pro eye, whatever. That back is the highlight of that offense and works out great. Another big factor, which I've had to deal with several times, is I don't have a tailback. I've got a bunch of fullbacks. Maybe one fullback, semi-quarterback, and two tight ends, because I'm in rec, because I didn't get those running backs like I wanted to get in the draft, or they didn't get assigned to my team. I mean, I remember the first year in Colorado I coached, basically my son and another kid were two running backs, and they were like slow quarterback, fullback kids. So it was tough. It was really tough. And I know a lot of coaches get that. So you really got to look at, you know, how many top running backs do you have? If you don't have a whole lot, then you need to choose an offense that doesn't require three to four really good running backs to make that offense work. You know, the wishbone is a nice offense, but you really got to have, because you've got all of them in the backfield, they all have to be sort of smart and know where to go. Otherwise, you're just running into each other. That's the reason the beast and kind of the single wing work when you don't have a whole lot of backs, because they're basically direct snaps to backs, not a lot of ball handling. And you only need maybe one or two, and that works out. So just take a look at, you know, number of backs and what you're trying to accomplish there. The other variable in this is what type of offense, you know, at base is this offense? Because if you're choosing an offense that's power, but you've got a lot of speed backs, even though you could probably run power, you know, maybe you want to run a more wide open offense. If your kids are small and your backs are really fast, maybe a lot more misdirection. If you've got a passing quarterback, even though I don't suggest passing at youth, I've had one and we passed and it worked out great. So you got to kind of take a look at the philosophy of the offense, what your talent is and what's your philosophy. And can you match that all up and say, yeah, that's, I feel comfortable in that and confident. So there you go. That's what you got there. Last couple here on the variables is, this is kind of a big one is, and somebody brought this up in the group, versatility and the flexibility of the offense. That's a good one. And he talked about, can you change up plays, you know, one week to another to attack a particular opponent? Or is it just so difficult of an offense to deal with, to do that? So I think that's a great thing to think about. The other thing is this an offense that my group can grow with as they age up? And I think that's a good question to look at. I know the beast has been really good for us, but I run it within a power wing beast offensive multiple system, which is my playbook, which has the capability to move into more sophisticated offenses as my group ages. And we can still run beast as short yardage and then other thing as we age and get more experience, and it's worked out great. So you really need to look at, is this offense or offensive system flexible and have the versatility enough for my team as we go? The last couple here is, and this is a big one for rookie coaches, is this offensive system easy to learn, install, and execute? You know, if you're a wing tee, the pistol, the double wing, those are pretty, even though they're kind of easy, they can get fairly sophisticated in what you need to learn. So are you able to do that the first year you coach if you've never coached youth football? I may want to pick something easier. I was trying to install the Power Eye my first year and do some things with that. And it was a little bit more complicated than even I had played for 10 years and played in a Power Eye system for like 8. But I wasn't able to turn that into a youth system that it worked until I found the Beast, which was very simple. It was a single wing. We're not doing a whole lot of moving parts. And for me, that was easier to learn, easier for to teach my kids and install, and easier to execute. And we got into a championship game and almost beat the number one team in the league the first year with this rookie team and me as a rookie coach. So make sure you're choosing something that might be in your level that you feel confident that you can coach. Picking some sophisticated offense might be tough. The last thing, which really is a great thing to think about, is if you choose an offense, are there a lot of resources and materials and playbooks and other coaches out there that run this offense that you could learn from? And that makes a big choice, a big factor in your choice, I would think. You know, I run the website that's been up 10 years, over 15 years now on the Beast. Got a private group. Several other coaches are running it. High school coaches are running it now. Everybody's talking about there's a pretty good amount of people that run it. It's about 5 to 8% right now in the youth football polls of people that are running the BCL single wing. So the same thing with the double wing. There's tons of information on that. Single wing, tons of groups on that. Wing tee, tons of stuff out there. Pretty much all these groups will have Facebook forum and things, but you're really looking for verified material from verified coaches, and are these materials out there and available? And that will help you learn the offense and learn quickly, because you can reach out to those resources. So that's the end of those 25 variables in looking at a youth football offense and how to choose one. And I know this first part, 1 and 2, were sort of maybe a little bit boring, but I really had talked to a lot of people and I didn't feel like they were understanding the variables of what to look at before to go into an offensive choice. So I wanted to make sure that I got those out there so you would be more aware of what we're moving into now. And this is an intro into part 3, is where I'm looking at each offense formation and their top play, so we can kind of talk about what it is and how we could choose it. So that's where we're going to go now. So this is the intro into part 3. I'll try to get part three done at the end of the week here. It's October 15th, 2023, and try to get into more of these formations. But the first formation that I will intro here is the unbalanced single wing. Now, there's a ton of people that run this, and they run, you know, DC Sainted 6 and or other single wings. Pop Warner developed this formation way back in the early 1900s. There's so many resources on this. So this is definitely a formation offense that has tons of resources for any coach to learn from. So what is the single wing? Well, it's a four-back unbalanced formation featuring misdirection, passing, and power. It's an unbalanced power misdirection attack is its strength. The weakness is that you kind of need 2 to 4 pretty good running backs, and then you've got a squat or shotgun snap, which can be kind of tough for some. So you want to kind of look at those things. If you're reading the blog post, and I'll put that in a link in the description, there's a formation diagram along with the first play. And really the first play out of the single wing is a power off tackle play where everybody is basically hitting the point of attack right outside the power tackle's butt. Between him and the tight end, the wing is coming down, the blocking back's kicking out, the fullback's leading, and then the tailback is taking the direct snap through that power hole, which is basically the D gap since it's unbalanced to one side. So that's a great play. It's similar to the Beast Tank power play, but this is in the unbalanced single wing play where the backs are a little bit more spread out and have to know exactly where to go. So that's their main play. Like I said, the single wing formation has been around since the 1900s. It actually was developed after the T formation, which was run at the time, and Pop Warner came up with this formation so it could be a little bit better at hitting the edge and with a little bit more passing. Some things to consider about the unbalanced single wing is, one, the snap. You're in a shotgun snap, short squat. Blocking, I think, is fairly simple with angle blocking, but there is some pulling. So you've got to be aware that your guard, you really want to try to pull a guard if you can. Power or speed, it's more power with misdirection than speed. So if you don't have speed, this could be a good offense for you. Are there different formation motions or shifts? No, this is mainly an unbalanced, overloaded offensive line with double tight ends and a wing back. So not much going on there. It's pretty simple. Now, if you get outside the base information, you can run more of a spread, but then it kind of moves out of its base. passing is minimal. There are some passing, but you don't really have to have a huge passing quarterback. Formations, again, it's just really an unbalanced double tight end formation, so nothing really major there. O-lineman size, I would say average to big. I mean, it's helpful if you have bigger linemen, but it's not needed because it's mostly angle blocking and you're overloaded. Quarterback skills there, it's not a traditional quarterback, so not really. It's more direct snap to your backs. So you do need some hand skills a little bit. I would say average, and the backs have to take a direct snap, so they all have to learn that. Running backs, I say you need two good and two average, really, to make it work, because you are wanting to run some misdirection. Team speed, I would say average. You don't really need a lot of speed. Of course, all the time, I mean, it helps, but you don't really need it to run it to be competitive. Is it easy to install? I would say it's fairly easy. You've got a base 6 to 8 plays that are pretty easy to install and get through. I'd say this team age experience level is easy for rookies and younger ages, and fairly easy for coaches to install, because you can direct snap to a couple of backs there that are by the center and get away with four quick plays, really. So it's a fairly easy, if you can get the shotgun or squat snap down and your backs can get the ball from a direct snap, then you can get several plays to hit different holes fairly quickly. The other thing, which is the last part of these 15 kind of variables to look specifically at skill sets of the offense, is there are a ton of available playbooks and materials. There's a huge community of software coaches. So I think that's a huge advantage to a new coach, that there's so much information out there to learn from that you can do it. So I do recommend the single wing for pretty much any age, except for maybe 5 or 6, although you could run it there. I think the B single wing is a little bit more simple, but they're pretty much tied as far as, you know, how many people run it and what they're trying to do with it. So I've got a single wing ebook that's on my site. There's a lot of folks that have single wing books. There's just a ton of information out there. So yeah, I like the unbalanced single wing for almost any team, and it will age well with you. I have liked the double wing and the single wing defensively. I know how to stop them, so I'm not as enthused about them as just a single offense, but I do like them as packages. So you could put in a UBSW package from my standpoint, but as an overall offense, I think it's a great offense and I do recommend it. All right, so that's the end of the unbalanced single wing and part 2 of this series. So more coming in part 3 is I will be talking more about the eye, the double wing, wing T, power eye, split, wishbone, spread, pistol, T formation, beast, option, offset eye, and others. As part 3 and 4, we'll go over the exact offenses and what to look at in those. So I hope you enjoyed part 2 of choosing a youth football offense. Stay tuned for more of part 3 upcoming, and probably part 4 as we talk more about choosing how to choose a youth football offense. Again, this is Coach Parker with CoachParker.org. Thanks for joining me today. Remember to play for fun, and winning is funner. We'll see you next time. Ciao. Thanks for joining me all the way to the end. That's much appreciated. Hey, if you get a chance, just subscribe to my podcast. That really helps a lot. And also, you can head over to CoachParker.org, my playbook store, and check out all my playbooks like the Power Wing Beast Offense, the 6-2 Multi-8 Defense, the Wildcat Spread, the Power Eye, the Double Wing, the Eye Formation, Wishbone, my drill books, my Jaws Blocking book, my Wolfpack 7-on-7. Got a lot of good stuff over there you can take a look at, and that'll help support me bring more youth football content to the youth football coaching community. And as always, remember to play for fun, and winning is funner. Thanks for joining me today. Hope to see you guys next time.